Hi, I'm Femi Oke. The most dangerous place in the world for journalists to work, other than in a conflict zone, is Mexico. This month alone, three journalists have been murdered. More are missing. In today's episode of The Stream, the dangers that journalists in Mexico face and what is being done to protect them. Three journalists on the show right now. We're going to be using their experience, their stories, to help us understand so much more. Jan Albert, Andalusia, Jorge, so good to have all of you here. Jan Albert, please say hello to our audience around the world. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jan Albert Hoetsen. I am a Dutch journalist based in Mexico City. I've been living here for about 12 years. And I'm currently the Mexico representative for the Committee to Protect Journalists, and really glad to be here.
Good to have you. Andalusia, welcome back to The Stream. We've done many shows with you over the years. Good to see you back. Please remind our audience who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Andalusia Noel Soloff. I am an independent multimedia journalist here in Mexico City, and I am also the founder and general coordinator of Frontline Freelance Mexico, an organization that fights for more journalists not to be killed, and also a support network for us freelance journalists in Mexico to improve both our labor and working and safety conditions.
Oh, Andalusia, good to see you again. Jorge, welcome to The Stream. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jorge Nieto. I'm a freelance independent journalist working currently from Australia, but I've been working in the border Mexico and United States for the last 15 years. Basically, I'm a bit concerned and worried about the situation with my colleagues over there. And I'm part of Frontline Freelance Mexico, too. Mm-hmm.
So good to have all three of you. So we have so much expertise here. If you want to understand what is happening to journalists in Mexico and you're online, jump into our YouTube comment section, ask questions, share your comments. I'll do my best to get you into the program. I want to show you on my laptop the three journalists who were murdered this month. OK, I'm just going to flick through them so you can see. Lourdes Madonda Lopez, Margarito Martinez, and Jose Luis Gamboa Arenas. I'm going to go back one picture because for you, Jorge, these are not statistics. This is a friend.
Yeah, it's really confronting being talking about the violence about the journalists in Mexico. But yeah, exactly. They are not just numbers or names. They are friends. I used to have lunch with Margarito many times. I used to take her daughter for a ride in my motorbike. And I meet her wife. I drink a couple of beers with him many, many, many times. We share many coverage together in the Tijuana nights, in the most complicated situations in Tijuana and the border. And with Lourdes, I meet her. My dad is a journalist, and I meet her to my dad when he started to work in Tijuana like 30 years ago. They share office in Televisa, Tijuana, and she's still working until last days when she was brutally killed. So I knew them. I knew them, and I knew they were brave people. They are the front line of the media outlets. They are the people who go to the streets in the worst conditions and put their life on risk with the results that we already know now.
Well, Albert, I'm just wondering about the environment with which journalists are working in Mexico. Three murders of three well-known, hard-working journalists. Does that make headlines? Does the nation stop and take stock of what is happening or not?
Well, it seems to do now. I don't think I've seen a public outcry as loud as this week since 2017, when two other journalists, Miroslava Rich-Beldusea and Javier Valdez-Cárdenas, were brutally murdered in Mexico. Over the past few years, there have been a lot of murders. There's been a lot of violence against reporters in Mexico. And they very often seem to sort of just pass by. There's a lot of fatalism, a lot of frustration. But I think three murders in just a matter of 10 days and two murders in the same city in just a week is too much for Mexican journalists to handle. I think this is really released anger, frustration, fear, sadness, and is going to be channeled into a nationwide protest, which will be organized tonight in at least 40 different cities in the country. There's probably going to be hundreds or even thousands of journalists there. And I think this is a very important moment. It's a watershed moment where Mexican journalists are going to make clear to the government, to their colleagues, and to the world that this is just not acceptable anymore, so much violence against our colleagues.
I know all three of you are involved in these protests. Andalusia, you are monitoring them as you're on the stream right now. What are you seeing? And then Jorge sent us pictures from the protests from today. Andalusia, you start, and then we'll start looking at Jorge's pictures.
Yes, what we are seeing is an incredible solidarity amongst journalists, and it's not a small thing that journalists are protesting in Nuevo Laredo, Tamaulipas, in León, Guanajuato, in Orizaba, Veracruz, or like in all of these towns where it's very dangerous to be a journalist, where other colleagues have been murdered. And we see Lourdes herself had attended the protest of Margarito, and then she was killed. She had suggested that they have a in the school have like some kind of journalist competition named for him, and then she was murdered. So it's not a small thing for journalists that live in these very dangerous places to come and speak out. We've never seen this kind of mobilization before, where so many of us are speaking out that this cannot go on. But also it's important to mention that today, the president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, every morning he has a presidential conference and a press conference. And today at the press conference, there were many of our colleagues who protested in front of the conference, laying down their cameras and also hanging up pictures of their colleagues who have been murdered. But they were fearful to protest inside because it means perhaps they would no longer have access to their conference and also would be fired from their media outlets, which there is a lot of precarity for journalists here in Mexico. And on top of that, the president said that we are like vultures, that we are complaining that before Lourdes had gone to this conference and 3 years ago, and she had expressed that she feared for her life after suing the media company that
Andalusia.
Was owned by the government.
So, Andalusia, yeah. we have that moment, which is incredibly poignant. She's almost seeing her own future, her own fate. So this is a 2019 press conference, and Lourdes is talking to the president, and she says this. Let's have a listen. Very short line, but so important.
I am here to ask you for your support, help, and justice because I fear for my life.
I fear for my life. I want to share something here on my laptop, and I know you're all going to have different responses to this, but it's from Tryden Lee. What did the journalists die reporting? Do you have that information? And there are so many journalists who are risking their lives. Why, Jorge, you can start, and then Jan Albert, I'll come to you. Why are journalists being killed? Who's doing the killing? The initial response is, Mexico, it's got to be cartels. Is that true?
It's not that simple, the answer to that. But first of all, I want to just continue with a little bit what Ana Lucia was saying about the great organization that we're having right now. And this really hopeful to see more than 300 journalists around the country. We're being organized in the WhatsApp group just to organize the protests all over the country. Mm-hmm. And we are from different companies. Most of them are freelancers, so we don't have any protection from the own company, the companies that we work, and we're working together. The pictures that you've been seeing is just a few. I just sent you like four or five pictures, but many more happening right now. In Tijuana is going to happen in a few hours. Back into the question, why the journalists are being killed in Mexico? I think because it's very easy to do that, to until now, until today, it's very easy to kill someone in Mexico and just walk away because there is not the right justice system. There is a lot of corruption, and it's not just about the cartels. It's very easy to think, oh, it's because the cartel, it's because the drug dealers. No, we are facing risks from different sectors, and many of these risks is coming from the official sector as well. There are many, many journalists who have been afraid to raise their voice and protest in these small cities because they're going to be facing the next day the pressure from the mayor, from the Congress, from the governor, from the cartel. So the journalists have a lot of enemies right now. So it's really hard to say this is the reason. And it's because they are doing research in the criminal issues. And it's not that simple. It's not that simple. We're seeing now the footage of Margarito's funeral. And yes, he was covering mainly the violence topic, dead people, drugs, and that kind of stuff. But here, Lourdes, she was covering more government, corruption, and that kind of topic. So it's multifactorial. I don't know if my colleagues are agreeing with that.
I would add, one of the reasons we never know why the journalists are killed is because there is so much impunity in these cases. So over 90% or possibly even 95% of the cases of murders, including over the 100 journalists who have been murdered over the past two decades, we don't know who killed them or why they killed them, and no one is sentenced for their murders. So it's hard to know who is behind them if we never know. Also, it is very common that the government tries to say that they were not murdered for their profession. One of a very famous journalist, a muckraking journalist, Regina Martinez in the state of Veracruz, she was murdered in 2012. And one of the things that I, when I investigated this case, found was most absurd is she had makeup in their house. So the government in their investigation said she has makeup. Therefore, she was probably dating. So it's probably a lover who killed her because she had makeup. Mm-hmm. And it's the same case with Margarito. They said, oh, he had some issue with some neighbors, and I think they were drunk, so they came and tried to kill him because they had some issue over some land. So the government's always trying to find a way out and saying journalists are not being killed for being journalists. They're being killed for some other reason, instead of actually really trying to get to the bottom of these cases and find out why so many communication workers are being assassinated here in Mexico.
So, Jan Albert, I want to play to you a video comment that Marcela sent us a little bit earlier. She really lands on this idea of impunity. Would you have a listen, watch the video, and then immediately react off the back of it? I want to understand, from your perspective, what impunity means in Mexico. Let's take a look.
We are protesting to the government to do something to stop these killings, to prevent and to investigate, because the impunity kills journalists, because the impunity is an invitation to kill again. And we have been demanding this for more than 12 years now, many more. And this is not stopping. So now we are calling people to protest with us, to the society, to come with us and to defend the freedom of speech and the freedom to be informed.
Well, you know, Marcela's, I think, a good friend of us. And I couldn't agree more with what she's saying. I think impunity in Mexico is a series of errors, a series of events that indicate gross incompetence and a lack of will by different authorities in Mexico to properly investigate. And I think the best way to explain it is by giving you a few anecdotes. For example, a few years ago, a journalist in Veracruz was murdered, and it took the authorities in Veracruz up to 3 months to even make a sketch of the possible suspects in the case. In the case of José Luis Gamboa, 2 weeks ago in Veracruz, almost immediately after he was murdered, the local police was reporting to local journalists that he was most likely robbed, which is sort of like the favorite explanation nowadays for the authorities to basically not investigate whether journalists are murdered because of their job. Well, I spoke with a government official. He's not actually part of the investigative team there. And he told me, well, José Luis, who was stabbed seven times in the city of Veracruz, he was struggling financially. He wasn't carrying any money, and he was stabbed in broad daylight in a residential area. So it's very highly, unlikely that he was robbed in the middle of a residential area and nobody noticed. And I think Ana Lucia already mentioned it in the case of Margarito. Municipal police in Tijuana told local journalists, well, you know, there was a conflict with neighbors over a piece of land and there was alcohol involved, and then he got shot. And it was actually the state authorities in Baja California, probably responding to public outcry that the murder caused, who said, well, no, that actually that conflict with the neighbor was not actually a conflict. It was just a discussion. It happened months ago and there was no alcohol involved. So what you see here is the unwillingness of the Mexican authorities to take even the most basic steps to conduct a decent investigation. Very little in terms of forensic evidence is being gathered. And many times authorities don't even take a threat against their lives seriously related to their journalism. Particularly women, female journalists in Mexico, have to deal with this problem that they're not being taken seriously by the authorities. And impunity in that sense is sort of a chronology of failures and gross incompetence, unwillingness and indifference by the authorities.
I'm going to bring in a new voice into our conversation. This is Laura. She's a journalist, and she gives us a sense of what it is like to work in Mexico when she worked in Mexico and what it is like today. And what is that difference? This is what she told us earlier.
I believe many journalists continue to do this type of work, knowing the dangers because they feel strongly about holding people accountable and making sure that the public knows the truth. Especially when people are going to great lengths to make sure that you don't. I covered cases in 1997 in Tijuana where another newspaper publisher, Jesus Blanco Ornelas, was had an assassination attempt on his life and was shot. His bodyguard was killed right in front of his office. And again, he was just trying to do his job and trying to hold people accountable and making sure that the public knew who was responsible for the violence and what was going on in Tijuana. It's a very sad situation that this is still happening today.
Jorge, when I heard Laura say that, I thought about you and about you finding out about Margarito and about you getting to work straight away to cover that story or somebody that you knew personally who had been murdered. What keeps you working as a journalist, knowing that there are risks that you and your colleagues are taking every day?
I'm totally agree with Laura, because now having a different perspective, I'm starting to realize there is many things that I assume as a normal, and it's not normal. It's not normal in another country. It's not normal in Australia, where I am. All the risk, all the precarization of the journalist that I was having in Mexico. And yeah, exactly. It's very the reaction of us when something happened of all the journalists is cover and make the story. But it's really hard when you have to make the story of your friends, the story of another journalist killer.
Unimaginable.
So right now, unimaginable. It's terrible. I feel broke. I feel broke many times during the last few days. But I have big expectations of the protest today. So I want to see more than a journalist. I want to see the community. I want to see the people joining us, because it's very important. They need to raise their voice, because we've been their voice for many years and then in many, many situations. So I really hope some members of the community can join us tonight.
I'm just looking at YouTube with a lot of questions that our audience are watching. Nefarious Mex, I'm going to put this one to you, Ana Lucia. Is anything being done to curb the problem besides spreading awareness? Ana Lucia.
Yes. Well, the government actually has a protection program for journalists. And so sometimes this is there's a federal protection. There's also state protection. And this protection program involves sometimes that journalists have bodyguards. Often the journalists themselves have to pay the gas for the vehicle of the bodyguards or pay for other costs. Or if they have cameras outside their home to protect them, they have to pay for all those costs. And journalists in Mexico often make around $200 or $300 a month. If that. So these costs are sometimes prohibitively expensive for journalists who are already making so little. But also beyond the cost, we have seen numerous journalists who have been murdered while under these protection programs. Lourdes was in a state protection program. I understand that she had bodyguards and that somehow the bodyguards were not there at the moment that she was murdered. And so there are cases in Veracruz, there are cases all over. So there needs to be a further analysis showing that this government protection program clearly does not work. But also we ourselves have to organize and protect ourselves. That is why we have organizations like Frontline Freelance Mexico. When we are out on a dangerous assignment, we have colleagues who are monitoring us with GPS right as we are working in these areas where we could say someone just threatened me, someone, you know, that looks like these police want to make sure we leave this area, et cetera. And sometimes you can't always prevent a murder. You can't always prevent a threat. You can't do everything that is necessary to prevent this violence. But we have seen that the government does not protect them and instead calls us vultures for complaining about our colleagues being murdered. So we ourselves have to form these networks of support where we can have better working conditions, safer working conditions, and also even fairer payment, which is also related to safer conditions.
So, yes, I'm seeing a lot of reaction to what you're saying and a lot of confirmation from our viewers who are in Mexico saying that every day it is the same. Violence, corruption, a lot of fingers pointing at the government as well. I want to bring in Michael Lettieri. He's the managing editor of the Mexico Violence Resource Project, talking about the government's reaction to the dangers journalists are going through. Jan Albert, have a listen to the video and then respond.
The Mexican government's protection mechanisms for journalists who are at risk have largely failed, and that's because they're not trusted by journalists, and they don't really provide good recourse to journalists who are at risk. The Mexican government has consistently failed to really prosecute cases of violence against journalists, and that ranges from both murders to lower-level threats and intimidation that occur on a much more regular basis. And because there's just consistent impunity for violence against journalists, it tends to propagate more violence.
Well, I think those comments are right on money. I think there are two different issues here that are both equally important. First of all, to give you an idea, the federal mechanism for the protection of human rights defenders and journalists has a budget of less than 400 million pesos for this year. And the Mexican federal government has apparently been trying to frame that as if it were a good thing because it's the highest amount of money that the mechanism has ever had. But it's barely $20 million in a country that is 52 times the size of the Netherlands, the country where I'm from, meaning that it's actually a negligible amount that doesn't really make a dent in the situation of violence. And even the amount of money that they have is very poorly spent. There's a lot of wasteful spending. There's not a lot of accountability. There's a lot of problems with coordination, problems with the profiles of the people who do the risk evaluations. And there's not really a sort of a mechanism of accountability. So even if there are, if mistakes are being made that will cost lives, as Ana Lucia mentioned, then nobody is ever reprimanded even for that. And I think the other thing that's also very important that was mentioned in the previous video is that the mechanism, even if it had enough people and even if it had the legal tools to properly protect as many journalists as it would like to, even with enough money, it is still just a protection mechanism that can only respond to threats. It doesn't investigate. So the real to really curb the violence, to get back to the question asked by our viewers, the Mexican government will have to invest in procurement of justice, in combating violence, and in lowering that staggeringly high impunity rate of over 95%.
Okay.
If you don't do that, then you can get the biggest and the most efficient protection mechanism in the world, and it will not make a difference in the long run.
All right, Jan Albert, I'm going to leave the conversation there for now. Andalusia and Jorge, thank you so much for bringing your expertise, your experience here to the stream. Thank you on YouTube for your comments and questions. Those protests by journalists around Mexico, we will keep you up to date with those protests. I know that Andalusia, Jorge and Jan Albert will make sure that we continue to follow the story. Thanks for watching.